Our new gospel, our New Testament reading, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. Let me hear this word from our Lord. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and legal experts, and that he had to be killed and raised on the third day. Then Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. "God forbid, Lord, this won't happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stone that could make me stumble, for you are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." Friends, the word of the Lord. A man and his wife had their vacation interrupted by a terrible toothache. They didn't know anyone in the little town they were passing by on the interstate highway, but they drove into town and asked directions to the nearest dentist. They went straight to the dentist's office and told the receptionist that they had an emergency situation. They had to see the dentist immediately. So the receptionist showed them into a little room, and in a minute the dentist came in. They stood up to greet him, and the wife said, "We are on a trip, and we have a tooth that must come out. We have no time for shots or gas, but it has to come out right now. We want you to pull it right now." Well, the dentist agreed to pull the tooth the old-fashioned way, and then he said, "Which tooth is it?" And the woman turned to her husband and said, "Show him your tooth, dear." How much courage do you really have? John Wayne once said, "Courage isn't the absence of fear, it's being afraid, but saddling up and going out anyway." Courage means we know who we are, in spite of everything which seems to be against us. And because of our courage, we can face even those things which threaten to destroy us. Well, Jesus was a man of courage because he was willing to go up to Jerusalem and face the things that were there waiting to destroy him. This was to be a real test of Jesus' courage. Several times Jesus talked with his disciples about going to Jerusalem. It seems the closer they got to Jerusalem, the more Jesus talked to them about it, and naturally so. Late in Matthew's gospel, we find Jesus and the 12 disciples getting ready to go there. And in our Bible passage for today is recorded Jesus' first prediction of his death. He said, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and legal experts, and that he had to be killed and raised on the third day." The disciples reacted in shock. Matthew tells us, Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. "God forbid, Lord, that won't happen to you." And then in chapter 17, Matthew tells us, when the disciples came together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The human one," that is, Jesus, "is about to be delivered over into human hands. They will kill him, but he will be raised on the third day." And the disciples were heartbroken. And then three chapters later, in chapter 20, Matthew writes, "As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 aside by themselves on the road. He told them, 'Look, we're going up to Jerusalem. The human one," again meaning Jesus, "will be handed over to the chief priests and legal experts. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to be ridiculed, tortured, and crucified. But he will be raised on the third day." Jesus was about to face the real test of his courage. But strangely enough, these are the moments for which Jesus was born. These are the moments for which Jesus had been living. These are the moments that threaten to break Jesus, but they are really the moments which would make Jesus. And because of that, Jesus was willing to face Jerusalem, knowing he was carrying out his Father's good will, and his Father would see him through. In that, Jesus found courage. Jesus was willing to face the real test of his courage. And if you're following along with the study guide in your bulletin, this is the first point there, and I'll repeat it. Jesus was willing to face the real test of his courage. So let me suggest some things about Jesus' experience, which will speak to our own experience and our need of this kind of courage. First, hang on to this. When there's no way out, let God in. I'll repeat that. When there is no way out, let God in. Sometimes there is no way out. Jesus knew it was true. There was no way to avoid going up to Jerusalem. So Jesus told his disciples they were going there. And he said, look, we're going up to Jerusalem. The human one, again meaning Jesus, will be handed over to the chief priests and legal experts, and they will condemn him to death. There was no way out. Now, Jesus didn't come to that realization there on the road to Jerusalem, and he didn't decide to let God in at that time. He made this decision way back up there before he even left Nazareth. He made it there at the Jordan River when he was baptized, and he heard the voice of God saying, this is my son whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him. Jesus made his decision way back when he went to Nazareth to preach in the synagogue at the beginning of his ministry, and he read those words in the synagogue from the sacred text, which said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news. And then when Jesus finished that reading in the synagogue that day, he explained to those gathered there, today this scripture has been fulfilled, just as you heard it. Jesus knew there was no way out. And he let God in. He made the presence of God, serving God, and obeying God the center of his life. Everything else was seen against the background of God's rule in his life. Now, sometimes we face things we wouldn't like to get out of, things we wish we wouldn't have to face. We all have those moments. We discover many times that there's no way out. I heard about a marriage made in heaven. This couple was to be married late in life, but before the wedding, they died in a tragic car accident. When they got to heaven, they asked St. Peter if they could still get married. And he said, well, let me see what I can do. Well, they waited about a year, and then finally, St. Peter told them that everything had been arranged. But they said, well, look, we've been thinking, what if this doesn't work? Can we get a divorce and get out of this marriage? And St. Peter said, what do you mean? Don't even talk to me about that. Why, don't you know it took me over a year just to find a preacher up here? Telling tales on myself. There are times when we face situations for which there is no way out. And when there is no way out, then we must prepare ourselves to face what is before us. A young man was flunking out of college, and he sent a text message to his mother that said, flunked out, prepare dad. And he received an immediate text response, dad prepared, prepare yourself. How do we prepare for the things for which there is no way out? Well, there's only one thing to do, and that's to let God in. And if we will let God in, then all the things that we do will be against the background of God's rule in our lives. Whatever happens to us, we will know that God is in control of the situation and us. There was a woman who was shopping at a large grocery store one afternoon, and she suddenly became aware that her little girl wasn't with her. And then she heard her daughter calling, "Margaret!" And so she walked over a few aisles, and she saw her little daughter with several other women. And she said to her daughter, "Here I am, but why didn't you call Mommy?" And the girl answered, "Well, I tried that. And you'd be surprised how many mommies came. But when I called for Margaret, I knew you'd be there." Jesus knew he could call on his Father, and so can we. And when there's no way out, let God in. And then hang on to this. When there's no way around, follow God through. I'll repeat that. When there is no way around, follow God through. Sometimes there is no way around. Jesus knew it was true. There was no way around Jerusalem. The road he was on led there, not just physically, but spiritually. He had to go there and face his enemies and the cross. And so Jesus told his disciples as they walked that road that they, meaning the chief priests and legal experts, will hand him over to the Gentiles to be ridiculed, tortured, and crucified. There was no way around that. Later we see Jesus in the garden as he prays, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want." Jesus knew there was no way around, and he decided to follow God through, to face what was before him. And he didn't make that decision there in the garden. He didn't make it on the road to Jerusalem. He made it much earlier than that. Sometimes we face things we would like to avoid, to go around, to just not have to confront. And many times we discover there is no way around. A boy went off to camp even though he really didn't want to go. And after a few days, he sent a postcard home, and it said, "Dear Mom and Dad, I told you something terrible would happen if I went off to camp. Well, it did. Love, Joey." Another boy went on a skiing trip with a youth group from his church, and he sent home a text message that said, "Yesterday we learned how to ski. I'm not very good. I broke a leg. Thank goodness it wasn't mine." Some things we can't avoid. When there's no way around, then we must prepare ourselves to confront what is before us. But how do we do that? There's only one way. Follow God through. And if we will follow God through, then we will be able to find our way with our hands in God's hands. And God will lead us in his ways. In the midst of a battle, a young man became afraid. He knew there was a great possibility that he would not make it through that battle. And so he decided to run. The pressure was too much. But when he turned around, there stood his general. And the general said to the young man, "Your road lies ahead, that way." It always does, doesn't it? Jesus knew he had to stay on the road. But on the road, he would be following God. When there is no way around, follow God through. And finally, hang on to this. When there is no way off, go over with God. I'll repeat that. When there is no way off, go over with God. Sometimes there is no way off. Jesus knew it was true. There was no way for him to get off doing what he had to do. And so Jesus told his disciples that he had to be killed. There was no way off. No way to get him off from doing this. But Jesus then added that he would be raised on the third day. Jesus knew there was no way off the cross, but there was a way over the cross. The New Testament calls that resurrection. And because of this, Jesus could promise his disciples on the night before the cross, "In the world you have distress, but be encouraged. I have conquered the world." Sometimes we face things that we would like to get off from, not have to bear, not have to endure. Many times we discover we can't find an easy way off. And when there is no way off, we must prepare to endure what is facing us. How do we prepare for the things from which there is no way off? Well, there's only one thing to do. Go over with God. So many people have been able to do that. Maybe you think you're facing something you can't handle right now, something overwhelming that is greater than you are. Maybe you feel that you have a cross to bear that's just too much, too great, too hard. When there's no way off, go over with God. Ellen Walker told about a young pastor who was serving a small church. And during his first year in ministry there, he developed two great goals. One was to build a new church building, and the other was to marry a young woman in the choir. Well, he reached both of those goals in his second year. But during his third year there, the new building burned down. And then his wife died in a tragic accident. This experience nearly destroyed this young pastor. One day he went out for a walk, and he went into a neighboring church. He went in and sat down. And while he was there, something wonderful happened to him. Later, reflecting on that experience, he said, "When I went in, all of the stars had gone out of my sky. And when I came back out, God had lit them again." Jesus knew what that final week in Jerusalem would mean. He knew that for all those who loved him, the stars would be torn out of the sky. Those people and those forces in Jerusalem who were waiting to do him in were there. They were setting a trap, and there was no way off for Jesus. They would hang Jesus on a cross. But they didn't know that God was putting him there. And they didn't know that Jesus had the courage to face it. Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." Jesus knew that out of that terrible experience that was waiting for him would come the dawn of a new day. And in that, Jesus found his courage. The things that threaten to break Jesus are the things which would make Jesus. His life, his victory, is a promise for all of us. So when there is no way out, let God in. When there's no way around, follow God through. And when there is no way off, go over with God. Jesus said, "In this world you have distress, but be encouraged. I have conquered the world." Amen.